everyone, and welcome back to Nailing It, the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. If you're new here and you don't know who I am, my name is Olivia. I'm a fully qualified nail technician and I work self-employed out of my home salon. It's a very cozy little home salon. I just work from my spare room in my home. And as you can probably guess, I'm passionate about all things nails. So if you're the same as me, you have definitely come to the right place and I would love for you to stick around. So in today's episode, we are going to be covering all things HEMA and basically how that relates to nail allergies. I think it's a really important conversation to be having in the nail industry right now, and I would love to talk about it and give my perspective. But before I get into that, I have a submission from Alison for How to Nail It. And if you don't know what How to Nail It is, it's a segment of the podcast where you can send in your question or if you want any advice on anything, and I do my best to answer it and help you guys out. So I will just read Alison's email out as it is and then I'll answer her question. Hello. First of all, that food set you've done recently, oh my word, jaw-dropping. Well, thank you so much, Alison. They were a very fun set to paint. I'm still fairly new to doing nails, qualified at the end of October, and still trying to figure out how to set up my client consultation forms. I set one up on Jotform with as many things as I think are relevant, but haven't used it because of the GDPR side of things. Like, what if data is leaked? How can I store it safely? I'm currently just asking the basic questions and making a quick note on their client card, but I know this won't work in the long run. My question to you is, how do you collect and safely store your client consultation forms? Thanks so much, Alison. And her Instagram is @thenailhut.byalison. If you want to go and check her out on Instagram, @thenailhut.byalison. I'll be definitely giving you a follow if I don't already, Alison. So if you have no idea what a consultation form is, it's basically a form that you fill out at the beginning of every client appointment. Not every client appointment, but every new client appointment. I ask questions like, have you ever had your nails done before? What sort of products have you had on before? How have you got on with those products? Do you have any allergies? Things like that, just to gain a perspective of my client's previous experiences and also to see what it is they want to gain out of their appointment with me. And being conscious of data protection is really, really important because all of that information should be kept confidential and private and should never be shared with anyone. It should just be between you and your client. So I can completely understand why you are conscious of that. The best answer I have to your question is to just do it on paper. That's how I was taught how to do it in college. I fill out all of my consultation forms on paper. So I have a document where I print out the questions and then leave blank spaces to write the answers in pen. And then me and my client both sign that document. And that is kept in a safe place away from everybody. And preferably keep it in a locked cupboard or a locked filing cabinet where no one else knows where it is. I just think that's the safest, oh my god, I can't get my words out today. I just think that's the safest way to do it in terms of making sure that none of your client's information is leaked. With technology, I think it's really difficult because you obviously don't know where it's been stored. You know, somebody else could gain access to your computer. You may live in like your home with your family. So I think just the best option is to keep it as a paper copy. You're the only one that has that copy of that document. You know exactly where it is and you know that it's kept safe. I don't know what Jotform is and how the information on there is stored. So I would just make sure that you're careful with that. But yeah, that's the best advice I've got. Keep it as a paper copy and you're the only one that has it. So I hope that answered your question, Alison, and thank you so much for submitting a question. I would love for you all to go and check her out on Instagram and give her a follow and show her some love. So now that we've done that segment, we will move on to the actual topic of conversation, which, as I mentioned earlier, is HEMA. And the reason that I want to talk about this now is because I've actually recently had a experience where a client has had an allergic reaction, or what I suspect is an allergic reaction, we have to remember that we are not doctors, we cannot diagnose things, so it's just me sort of making my best guess as to what has happened. But this client came to me, she was a brand new client to me. She had builder gel on from another nail technician and she wanted me to remove that builder gel and then apply my brand of builder gel. And I do use Hema Free, so I use the brand Hona. Once I started removing her builder gel, which was, I believe, the gel bottle, that's what she thought it was. We're not 100% sure, but we're pretty sure it was the gel bottle. So once I started removing it, I could see that something wasn't quite right. I was sort of halfway through the removal process. So I was, I'd applied all of the foils and then I was going back and scraping off the bit that I could scrape off at that point, and then I was putting the foils back on. So I wasn't completely exposing the nail bed yet, but I could tell something wasn't quite right. I thought maybe it was the builder gel that had lifted a little bit, but I did suspect that the nail plate had lifted. And once I had removed all of the nails properly, I uncovered a condition called onycholysis. If you don't know what this is, give it a Google. You can have a look at some pictures. I do have a video on my TikTok showing what my client's nails looked like after I had treated them. But it's basically where your nail plate lifts off your nail bed. There's a number of things that can cause it. So it can be trauma to the nail bed and nail plate. So if you've like banged it really badly, that can cause onycholysis. It's suspected that nail allergies can cause onycholysis. Like over filing the nail plate can cause it as well. So there are many different reasons as to why it can occur. But the reason that I thought it was a nail allergy is because it had shown up on multiple of her nails. I think it was 5 of her nails that she had it really badly on, and the others were slightly lifting as well. Luckily we caught it fairly early, so it wasn't too bad. But if it was something like overfiling, there would have been other evidence of that there as well. So she would have had really thin and brittle nails, and she didn't. Her nails, other than the onycholysis, were in perfect condition. None of them were thin. They were healthy and long, and there wasn't any other issues there. So they are the main reasons why I thought it was onycholysis. And obviously it wasn't trauma, because she would have had to have really banged all of her nails quite badly for that to happen. And that obviously wasn't the case. She didn't recall doing anything like that to her nails. So that's why it's sort of on the forefront of my mind at the moment. I think as nail techs, we think, oh, that's not going to happen to us. And obviously what had happened with that client wasn't my fault, because it wasn't a product that I'd put on her. It wasn't a mistake of mine. Not that a nail allergy is a mistake of anybody's, but I think that a lot of the times we can think that we're not going to be that person that it happens to, and we can be, and it is very stressful, and I definitely was sweating a lot on the inside. I was trying to remain as calm as possible on the outside, but it's a really scary thing to uncover and have to tell somebody about, and it's not nice. So basically when I uncovered it, I filed away all of the nail plate that had lifted off the nail bed and exposed that skin underneath, which was hard and not very sensitive. She must have had it for a few weeks, so that skin underneath had hardened. And then I advised her to go and see the GP. So she went to see a GP. Unfortunately, she couldn't be referred to a dermatologist. It's really difficult to get an allergy test here in the UK. Which is what I advised her to do, but obviously it is really hard and you most likely would have to pay for it privately, which is quite costly, and I can understand why not everyone is able to do that. So I went ahead and left her, made sure that she'd updated me on her nails, and I think it was about maybe like 9 weeks after her first appointment, she came back was it like 9 or 10 weeks? Something like that. She came back and all of her nails had grown out and they looked healthy again. They'd all reattached to the nail plate, to the nail bed, sorry. And I did a patch test on her little finger. So I just used every product that I would normally use on a builder gel service to make sure that she didn't have any sort of allergic reaction. And she didn't. And she still hasn't to this day. She's had 2 more appointments with me now and her nails are in perfect condition. And that is another reason why I thought it was a reaction to HEMA or one of the other chemicals that were being used in the gel bottle with the other builder gel that she was having on. I don't know for definite it was the gel bottle because obviously I didn't see the product. So yeah, that's essentially why I want to talk about this. I think that education on this subject is really important and it should be something that we are all thinking about and we are all aware of and making sure that we do everything we can to prevent our clients getting allergies, because at the end of the day, getting your nails done is not worth having a lifelong allergy to something. It just isn't. I don't care what you say. Now, before I actually get started and talk more about HEMA, I do want to make it very clear that I am not a scientist. All of this information is just information that I've gathered through my own research, and I always recommend you do your own research to gain a proper understanding. I'm just compiling everything that I found from articles on the internet and from other nail technicians in the industry that I know. They know what they're talking about. Make sure that you're not getting your information from sources that are creating fake news and spreading fake facts, because that is really damaging to the industry. So now that little disclaimer is out of the way, I'm going to go into a little bit about the science of HEMA and what it actually is. So HEMA, or hydroxyethyl methacrylate, is an acrylic monomer that's used in nail products, and it's mainly used for its adhesion properties. So it helps the nail products stick to the natural nail, and when it polymerizes in the UV light, so when it cures, it gives that hard shell-like shiny finish to your nails. So basically the difference between like gel and regular nail polish is that it lasts longer, and one of the main chemicals that makes that difference is HEMA. So that is the difference between like a regular gel manicure and a gel manicure and a regular nail polish manicure. So HEMA's molecular chemical compound is very small. That means that the molecules that make up the HEMA chemical are like very tiny, and they are very easily absorbed through the skin and into the bloodstream, and they can even be absorbed through the nail plate. That's how small they are. And as well as that, it also has a very high vapor pressure, which means it evaporates into the air really easily, increasing the chances of overexposure by breathing it in. So that is just another added thing about HEMA that means that overexposure to it is really easy, basically. And I thought it was really interesting, but as well as its use in the nail industry, it's also used in other industries as well. So for instance, your dentist uses it for your fillings. So if you do have an allergy to HEMA, you have to make sure that you let your dentist know, and you also have to make sure you let your doctor know, because a lot of orthopedic surgeons use it in many medical procedures. A lot of their a lot of their medical products have HEMA in them. And it's also actually used in 3D printing as well. And I suppose it makes sense in all of those industries because of its long-lasting qualities and how hard-wearing it is. So now we understand a little bit more about HEMA and what its role is in nail products, I want to discuss why it's such a hot topic in the nail industry right now. And the main reason is, as I've mentioned, the increase in people that are experiencing allergies to HEMA, and of course other chemicals are the culprit as well. Now, even though in many cases HEMA is the culprit for an allergic reaction or an adverse reaction, we do have to make sure that we keep in mind it's not the only chemical in gel products that someone can be allergic to. And in fact, anyone can develop an allergy to anything at any point in their life. And that is a really important thing to remember. A lot of the times we can think that it's our fault when in reality that allergy was going to develop whether you were doing what you were doing or whether you weren't. So just remember that it's not always the fault of anybody and that, you know, that allergy was going to occur anyway. But the main reason that there has been an increase in allergies to gel nail products is because of overexposure. Now, overexposure is the excessive exposure to something, especially something that's harmful. So the legal limit for the amount of HEMA used in nail products is actually 35%. So more than a third of your gel products could actually be made up from HEMA, which I think is crazy. And I do think that that number should definitely be revised considering the amount of people that are experiencing allergies to it. Now, HEMA is not actually necessarily harmful, and neither is any other regulated product that's used in nail products. The important word there being regulated. You have to remember that not every nail product is produced and manufactured in countries that have high regulations. And a lot of what you call white bottle companies are putting higher numbers of these chemicals in their products because they're cheaper and they last a lot longer. So they believe that that makes their product better, when in actual fact, it can be quite dangerous. So the next important question is, why are people all of a sudden being overexposed to these products, and why is it all of a sudden causing allergies? And there are multiple answers to that question. And the main one is the accessibility of these gel products online. Products that contain HEMA and a few other chemicals are actually only legally allowed to be sold to professional nail technicians, which means that only those that have been trained correctly should have access to buy them. And there are lots of reasons for this. There's a lot more that goes into being a nail technician than just slapping on products and making your nails look pretty. We are trained and we spend a lot of time researching things, and we are very passionate about our jobs. And it's important to note that we are trained for a reason and we have qualifications for a reason. That's why when you order from brands like Nail Order, Hona, Glitter Bells, The Gel Bottle, all of these big brands in the industry, you are required to provide your certificate of qualification. And that is so that the brand can make sure that they're selling their products to only qualified nail techs. They don't want to be selling them to the general public because it isn't safe for the general public to use these products. When these gel products, like gel polishes and builder gels that are made in countries where the amount of chemicals used aren't regulated, and they are readily available to buy on places like Amazon or Temu, that leads the regular person being somebody who's not a qualified nail technician, to believe that they don't need any knowledge or form of qualification to use these products, which is so far from the truth. And most of these gel polishes and builder gels that you find on places like Amazon and Temu are really inexpensive and really accessible for people to buy. And I was guilty of buying those cheap products myself before I came a nail technician. I actually used to buy Beatles gel polishes, which aren't actually too bad, but when you can't get access to the information that you need, like the SDS sheet and the ingredients that are in your products, I would be really wary of using them just because you have no idea what is in them. You don't know what the ingredients are and whether those ingredients are harmful, basically. But because these products are really cheap and accessible for people to buy, that meant that when COVID happened and all the salons were shut down, everyone decided to then buy all of these cheap gels off Amazon and cheap lamps to go with those gels and do their nails at home because they figured, well, how hard could it be? And in some cases, you're right. I think anyone can slap a product on their nails and make it look pretty with a little bit of practice. But as I said earlier, so much more goes into being a nail technician, and that knowledge is actually really important, a really important part of our job. And I think it's really important to remember that it isn't the fault of the consumer. I think during COVID especially, these large companies saw a massive gap in the market, and they started selling this idea that you could get this flawless salon manicure at home with a few cheap and easy products to buy. Which then obviously led to many people doing their nails at home on their own during COVID out of boredom and because they wanted their nails to look pretty. And I know that a lot of nail techs out there believe that that has massively contributed to the increase in allergies due to overexposure. When you're using these gel polishes and builder gels that have lots of nasty chemicals made by companies that quite frankly don't give a shit about what they put in their products, they just want to make a bit of quick money, and you're using these products with cheap UV lights that don't cure the product properly, you are increasing your chances of overexposure dramatically, because HEMA actually isn't harmful once it's cured. It's when it's uncured that it's harmful. So if you would imagine all of the molecules in HEMA being, when it's uncured, they move very easily and they are very liquidy, and once that product goes under the lamp and that gel solidifies, you can imagine all of those molecules binding themselves together and basically creating like a net of molecules that then can't actually penetrate into your skin. So when you're using these cheap lamps that aren't curing the product properly, you're leaving some of those molecules loose and able to get into your skin easily. And because it's left there uncured for such a long period of time, obviously the chances of it penetrating into your skin and overexposing you to that chemical are a lot higher than they would be if the product was only on your nail uncured for a short amount of time. And then leaving that gel uncured on your nails and your skin, coupled with accidentally getting it on your skin repeatedly because you don't know how to use it properly and you can't apply it properly because it is not easy to do on yourself, and also possibly accidentally overfiling your nails continuously as well. A lot of people have these really cheap e-files that you can buy off Amazon. Some of them are good, don't get me wrong. I did have a Melody Susie e-file off Amazon that lasted me a good while, and it was only about £60. But a lot of these really cheap ones that you can get for around £20, their RPMs, you can't adjust their RPMs properly, which means that it is way too fast and way too harsh on your nail. And a lot of people use really harsh grit sanding bands on their nails, which then leads to you overfiling your nail plate. And when your nail plate is really thin, it's obviously a lot easier for the HEMA and other chemicals to penetrate through your nail plate and into your skin. Now, all of that being said, my little rant about people doing their nails at home, which please, if you can avoid it, don't do it. Go and see a professional nail technician. I promise it's not worth the hassle of having an allergic reaction. You don't want that. But with all that being said, there are many people that have never done their nails at home. They've only ever gone to the salon and had their nails done by a professional, and they're still developing allergies. Well, that's not necessarily the fault of anyone. As I mentioned earlier, anyone can be allergic to anything at any point in their life for any number of reasons. I feel like I said any a lot of times then. The definition of an allergy is a damaging immune response by the body to a substance. And that basically means that your body recognizes that there is a substance, like, you know, people are allergic to pollen and dust and animal fur and animal saliva. It recognizes that as like a harmful substance and then has a really negative reaction to it, which is obviously something that nobody wants to experience. And it's really important to remember that everyone's bodies are very different. We all react differently to one another. We all have different tolerances. We all have different levels of hormones, and we all have different immune systems, which are all things that can very much affect whether we develop allergies or not. So for instance, my younger sister, we both have the same parents, but she has really bad allergies to animal fur and cat saliva and dust and pollen. She's really badly asthmatic as well. And I don't experience any of those allergies. So even though we are genetically related, you know, we are very different in that way. So actually, most of the time, your genetics don't necessarily have any sort of bearing on whether you develop an allergy to something. Sometimes it is just the way we are. And that means that when someone develops an allergy to a nail product, it may not be the fault of anyone. It may just be the body reacting to an unknown substance that it doesn't like. But that doesn't mean that as nail technicians, we shouldn't be doing everything that we can to prevent these allergies. These allergies are lifelong. They never go away. Once you develop this an allergy to HEMA or any other chemical in gel nail products, you have that allergy for life, and you can never have those products and those chemicals put on you again in any form. So as I mentioned earlier, if you go to the dentist or you need some sort of orthopedic surgery, you have to make sure that you make everybody aware that you have that allergy, so those products can't be used on you. Obviously, an allergy on your fingers is very different to an allergic reaction in your mouth or inside your body. You don't want that to happen. I can imagine that is not a nice thing to experience at all. And if I'm being perfectly honest, if you're a nail technician that is ignoring all of these things that are going on in the industry, I think that you're very careless and you need to do some more research, and you need to understand the importance of protecting your clients from these allergies. It's not something that anyone wants or wants to experience, and we need to be making sure that we are educating our clients on these things, because a lot of them are not exposed to this information and they have no idea that these allergies can occur, and therefore will just continue to keep getting these products put on their nails when they aren't safe to use. So how can we as nail technicians decrease the risk of our clients developing an allergic reaction? Firstly, as I've mentioned, educating yourself is really important. Make sure you understand the products you're using. Make sure you know where they come from and where they're manufactured, not just where they're bottled, because that has absolutely no bearing on the regulations of the chemicals used. Make sure you know where that product is being made. Understand the chemicals in the products you're using and ensure you have the correct training so you're applying those products correctly and safely. If you do want to find out what's in your nail products, so the chemicals that are used and the levels of those chemicals, you should be able to find that information on the website of whichever brand that you're using. So I use Hona, and on Hona's website, you can click on any one of their products, their gel nail products, and you can find the SDS sheet linked to that product in the description of the product. So it just takes you to like a PDF document, and you can see all of the chemicals that are in there and the levels of all of those chemicals. And you can then find out for yourself whether those levels are safe to be using or not. Another thing to make sure of is that you're using the correct lamp. You want the lamp that the UV lamp you're using to match the brand that you're using. So most brands these days will test all of their products with one main lamp that they sell on their website, and then they will have other lamps as well that they can suggest you buy that are different brands. So then maybe you already own that lamp and you don't have to buy a new one that the brand is selling, so you can save a little bit of money. I know it can be really costly buying a new UV lamp. They are not cheap, but there is a reason they're not cheap. Most of the time, if they are cheap, they're not made well and they don't have enough strength to them to cure the products properly. So just bear that in mind. And also with your lamp as well, bear in mind that over time, its strength decreases. So you will need to regularly buy a new one. It's usually, I think most brands say between 1 to 2 years. And you can test the strength of your lamp and make sure it's curing your products all the way through just by doing like little swatches on a piece of tinfoil or something like that. And then the next point sort of goes along with that, and it's making sure that you are using each product for its intended purpose and making sure that you are applying it correctly. So for instance, a builder gel is meant to be applied thicker than a gel polish, and that means that the builder gel will cure fully all the way through at the correct thickness, whereas if you was to apply gel polish at that thickness, it wouldn't cure all the way through and you would be left with a lot of uncured product. You can give this a test for yourself. You can try it. Try applying a really thick layer of gel polish on like a swatch stick, and you will see that the top layer of that gel polish will cure and the underneath will not cure. And most of the time that is because a gel polish is a lot more opaque than a builder gel. Builder gels tend to have a slightly transparent look to them. That's not only to make them look natural, but that is to allow the UV light to penetrate through the product and make sure that it's curing it all the way through, because obviously it is applied a lot thicker. And then of course the main thing that you can do to protect your clients is to use a HEMA-free brand of gel products. Now when selecting your HEMA-free brand, bear in mind that every gel product formula is different, and some HEMA-free products can still contain low levels of HEMA or other allergy prone ingredients such as IBOA and HPMA. So just make sure you do your research, check the SDS sheets for a full list of ingredients and levels of those ingredients. And another thing to keep in mind when you're using a HEMA-free brand or you're wanting to switch to a HEMA-free brand is that they apply completely differently to products that do contain HEMA. So what I mean by that is most of the time HEMA is replaced by other chemicals in HEMA-free products. Obviously HEMA-free products most likely don't have... Sorry, that was a motorbike. HEMA-free products, obviously, most of them don't have HEMA in them, and that means there has to be other chemicals in there that replace the HEMA. But those chemicals that replace HEMA sometimes aren't as strong as HEMA, so they need a little bit more help from you to adhere to the nail plate properly. So for example, Hona recommend that you etch the natural nail with a 100 to 150 grit file. Obviously you do this very gently and not with an e-file, with a hand file. And they recommend that you dehydrate with acetone before you apply their products too. But then I know that Nail Order, they recommend that you don't use acetone and you apply their primer before you apply their builder gel. So every brand is very different. Every brand has a different method of application when it comes to HEMA-free products. Any product actually, for that matter. Most brands will do it completely differently because their products are completely different. So just make sure that you know what you're getting into when you're switching to a HEMA-free brand. When I switched to Hona from the gel bottle, I was very much in the dark about the differences between between products that contained HEMA and products that were HEMA-free. And I struggled a lot with my retention at first, but once I did my research and I watched tutorials and I found the perfect prep routine for me, I most of the time don't have any problems with retention with my clients anymore. So yeah, that's just something to bear in mind when you're trying out different brands. You'll always have a learning curve. It will always take you a little bit of time to get used to a new product and a new brand. So yeah, just keep that in mind. Be patient. Don't throw it away after just one use if it doesn't go right. Because when I tried Hona, I tried it on my sister a couple of times, and at first it was a very different, the way it applied was very different to the gel bottle. It was a lot more a lot runnier. So I found it really difficult to work with at first. And I think I tried it once on my sister and then put it down and didn't touch it again for a couple of months before I was like, nope, I'm going to do this. I picked it back up again and I did my research. And since then, I have just loved the product so much. So yeah, just be patient with yourself and do lots of research. So now we've talked about how to protect your clients from an allergy, it's really important to remember that we have to protect ourselves as nail technicians as well. So always make sure that you're wearing your gloves to prevent getting any of the gel on your skin. And when you're filing the product off, always use a dust extractor so you're not breathing in the harmful levels of these chemicals. And you can also wear a mask as well, which I don't do and I should probably start doing. I'm really bad at that. I think masks sort of give me a bit of PTSD from COVID. Like, I don't want to wear a mask. It reminds me of COVID times. So yeah, just make sure you're protecting yourself as well as your clients. Obviously, as nail technicians, the last thing we want is an allergy to the products that we use every day. That would definitely not be ideal, would it? That would not be nice. Now, just to finish off this episode, I wanted to talk about how these allergies present themselves. So an allergy can appear in so many different forms on different people. As I mentioned earlier, everyone's different. Everybody's bodies react different. So it can show up as redness and itching of the skin around the nail and the skin, of the skin around the nail and underneath the nail as well. Onycholysis, which obviously I mentioned earlier, the lifting of the nail plate off the nail bed, that is something that you can very easily keep an eye on with your clients just by at every appointment turning their hand upside down and check in. You basically just turn their hand upside down, pull the skin away from the nail plate and make sure that it's still attached. You should be able to see where the skin is attached to the nail plate. If you can't see where the skin is attached to the nail plate, I would just keep an eye on it and maybe just take off the product to be sure that there is no lifting going on there. If they are lifting, it is very obvious. You won't be able to miss it. All of the nail plate turns white instead of pink. And another way it can show up is contact dermatitis, and this is different for everybody, but it's usually like dry, flaky, red skin around the hands. And you can actually get it in other areas of your body as well if your client has accidentally got a little bit on their skin and then touched their face or their arm. Those allergies can occur there too, so just bear that in mind. It's not just necessarily the skin on the hands and nails. And always remember that not every contraction and contraindication is an allergy. It may be something like fungal nail, nail psoriasis, contact dermatitis caused by something else. You know, there are so many different contractions and contraindications that occur. And just make sure that you're doing your research on what those things are, so you're not just jumping to conclusions about what your clients are experiencing and you don't want to scare them, basically. And also, it's really important to remember we are not doctors. We cannot diagnose anyone with any condition or anything, basically. All you can do is explain what it is that you're seeing and tell your client to go and see a GP so they can get a proper diagnosis and proper help and medication if they need it. We are not doctors. We are not diagnosing people with any condition. Remember that. It's really, really, really important because you don't want to get yourself in trouble by diagnosing somebody with something and it being an incorrect diagnosis and causing more problems for your client. And obviously, if you suspect your client has experienced an allergy, it is best to tell them to go to a dermatologist. As I mentioned before, an allergy test is actually quite difficult to get in the UK unless you pay for it privately. But it is very much advised to do so your client knows exactly what it is they're allergic to, so you're not causing any more harm to them. And it is completely up to you as a nail technician whether you feel comfortable applying a another product to their nail. So say they've reacted to one thing and you want to try something else, that is absolutely your discretion as to whether you feel comfortable doing that or not. Don't ever do anything that you feel uncomfortable with or that's going to put your client's health at risk. And if you're listening to this podcast and you're not a nail technician, then hello. I'm glad you're here. Why are you here? I would love to know. But if you are somebody who just gets their nails done and are a client of someone, I can't stress enough how important it is to check the health of your own nails. It's not just the responsibility of your nail technician to check your nails. It is also your responsibility. If you notice anything, any adverse reaction, always tell your nail technician straight away. Don't wait. Send them a message. I can guarantee they will 100% appreciate you reaching out and contacting them. Make sure that you're having regular removals. Sometimes it's really difficult as nail technicians to remember when our clients need removals. So if you as a client can keep track of your of the times that you need a removal, that'll be really helpful to your nail technician. I know that a lot of the times it costs a little bit extra and takes a little bit longer, but it is more than worth it if it prevents any sort of, well, if it can uncover something that is wrong with your nails and can prevent there being any further problems. And also, going along with that, make sure that your nail technician is qualified and has received the proper training. Unfortunately, the regulations in the UK for nail salons are really poor. They're virtually non-existent. We don't get checked as to whether we're qualified or not. So just bear that in mind. You can always ask to see your nail technician's qualification. Don't be afraid to ask them for that. Don't be afraid to ask them what sort of training they've had. It is up to you as a client to make sure that you are protecting yourself, and that is a way that you can protect yourself. And if you do develop an allergy, remember that it may not just affect whether you can get your nails done, it may also affect other aspects of your life as well, like whether you can get dental fillings or medical treatments too. So just make sure that you are making everybody aware that needs to be aware. So the point of this episode is to answer the question, is HEMA the devil? And after talking about this for, I think it's been about 45 minutes, the short answer basically is no. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the chemical. It has been used in the nail industry for decades and decades. Before most of us nail techs became nail technicians, it was being used in the industry, and there is definitely a place for it. A lot of nail technicians still do use HEMA brands, and that is completely fine. There is nothing wrong with that. If your nail technician does use a brand that contains HEMA, that doesn't mean that you should stop going to see that nail technician at all. It just means that you should be aware of it and make sure that you are keeping an eye on your nails. HEMA has its place in this industry, and it has done for many, many years, and it should not be demonized and made out to be a bad chemical when it absolutely isn't. It's just that all of these points that I've spoken about have caused a lot more people to have allergic reactions, which obviously is very scary, but as a chemical, not harmful at all. So as you know, I usually do a segment at the end of every episode called Salon Scares. I don't actually have a submission for this week, but I do have a little story I wanted to share that my sister shared with me. And basically, before I started doing her nails a couple of years ago, she obviously had some other nail technicians. And one of these nail technicians she went to, she had a home salon. And one of her appointments was in the evening. I think she said it was about 5 o'clock, 5:30, something like that. And her nail technician was making a roast dinner while she was having her nails done. So she would come in, do a little bit on her nails, and then go off, check her dinner, put something in the oven, take something out of the other oven, come back, do a little bit more of her nails, and keep doing that throughout her appointment. I think she said her appointment ended up being about 3 hours long. which is crazy. My sister didn't have any negative feelings about it. I think she just found it a little bit funny. But yeah, I just thought it was a funny story to share. If you do want to submit your stories for Salon Scares, or you want to submit a question for How to Nail It, then you can do that via email. My email is novalinails@gmail.com. Just make sure that you head the email with either Nailing It, How to Nail It, or Nailing It Salon Scares, just so I know what it's for. I appreciate everyone that has submitted, and I would love to hear your stories and answer your questions. So we have come to the end of the episode. Thank you all so much for listening. I know this was a really long one, but it was a really important episode for me to do, and I think it's a really important episode to listen to. So I appreciate you sticking around if you have stuck around, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this topic. If you do have something to say, you can DM me on Instagram or send me an email. I would truly love to hear all of your thoughts. And if you have any questions or need any advice on anything, you can also DM me on Instagram. I always try and reply to everybody. I know that switching brands, if you are switching brands, which I know a lot of people are right now, it can be quite a scary process. So if I can help in any way at all, I will do. I probably will do a full video on how I switched from the gel bottle to Honer, if that's something that people are interested in hearing. But yeah, that is it for today's episode. Again, thank you so much for listening and sticking around through my rambling. I hope this was helpful, and I hope you got something out of it. I will speak to you all next week. Bye bye.